I'm Phil Taylor, and with me is Phil Conlon. How are you doing, Phil?
Yes, good afternoon, Phil.
We're going to talk to Stephen Gowans about the situation, critical aspect of the struggle in Syria involving top billing, Mr. Trump, Mr. Erdogan, and then the Kurdish. Well, in the 1950s, they would have called it the Kurdish question. And Stephen Gowans has written an excellent essay in gowans.wordpress.com, in which he actually gives us all the details that the listeners to the Taylor Report would require. And I know it's a very demanding group of people. And we will also be talking about the situation of a new development in U.S. politics. A gentleman named Lumumba has been elected mayor of, I think, Jackson, Mississippi, and I don't think they mean Andrew, not anymore. They might mean Jesse Jackson. They might, you know, there's a number. And we're going to talk to Otis Richmond about that development, because Jackson has a central role in the struggles against racism, which is centered both in, you know, in Toronto and across this continent, actually, frankly, the whole hemisphere. There is a racial question in Venezuela. There's a racial question in Colombia. This isn't, it's not, and it, by the way, Cuba has, one of the countries has acknowledged and addressed it. And it's rooted in the history of slavery and colonialism. So we'll talk about that. In the minutes before that, I want to say that we hear the phrase false news, which is becoming such a joke, because if you were, say, Geronimo or Sitting Bull or Denmark Vesey, and someone talked about false news, and you said to them, you ever see any of that? And they would say, some, yeah, I've seen some. When it has anything to do with us, it's always been false. It's always been baloney. So, and it's such a practiced art, and it is part of our daily lives. And to illustrate, the Toronto Star has a little piece today, China, Liu's ashes scattered at sea by his family. And Liu won his, Liu Xiaobo, I think Phil Conlon pronounces it Jabo. Anyway.
I'm guessing.
He won the Nobel Prize. And believe me, I'm guessing. And he is therefore honored here, and they talk about he was in prison. And that's all you need to know. Well, he won the Nobel Prize for Peace, Peace Prize. It's very important for Taylor Report listeners to know that Liu Xiaobo supported every American war since World War II, every single one. The Korean War, the Vietnam War. He supported the attack on Libya. He is supporting the attack on Syria. He supported the attack on Afghanistan. And he had a curious theory. And that was that China is a backward, culturally backward people. And he thought there should be Western ideology ruling China. That was his position. Now, you can honor that and give him a Nobel Prize if you want. I would not give him a Nobel Prize. He enthusiastically supported the illegal, hideous, violent assault on Iraq, and of course the dirty little UN joke played by the Americans in destroying Libya. Oh, a no-fly zone complete with bombing everybody they felt like bombing. Nobel Prize winner Liu was all for it, 100%. So that's how you get a Nobel Prize, Phil. If you would like a Nobel Prize, just make sure you say two things. I'm for peace, but I want to bomb Libya. I'm for peace, but I want to bomb Syria. And you got a good shot. I'd say an excellent shot. Anyway, there's that. And you, we'll file that under false news. Why didn't the Star share that with us? I mean, maybe they agree with him. Why don't they just say he said those things so that their readers could weigh that themselves? But instead, we're all supposed to think, bad old China, what did they do? My suspicion is a guy with that kind of outlook would cause a lot of problems if he could do it. And every society tends to be a little hard on people who differ with them that significantly. Anyway, that said, Taylor Report, CIT. Next up, we have to mention that Jack Shaheen has died. And Jack Shaheen was a good friend of ours. He was a friend of CIUT, friend of, let's say CIUT. Andrew Van Velsen, if you want to do CIUT history, Andrew Van Velsen and I interviewed him, I'm proud to say, more than 20 years ago. And Jack Shaheen is the author of a book called Real Arabs. It's very clever, R-E-E-L. And it was a study of racism towards Arabs in Hollywood. And he found, after all of his study and investigation and many, many chapters, that they're only racist 99.5% of the time. That was it. I don't know if he ever found a good Arab in a Hollywood movie. But Jack was a humorous man, an intelligent man, he was not a hard-nosed type. He understood that he's in a good battle. He knows he's going to not prevail in the short run. So Jack laughed all the time. I found him a terrific, humored man. And he didn't get the attention of media that he should. Thank goodness for alternative radio, independent radio broadcasting and whatnot. We were quite happy to talk to him. And he was very informative. And I can just pick it out of your own mind. I mean, there's been recently the torture films, right? The Arabs were bad guys. And CIA was right to torture. I can't name the movie because I did not see it. And no, I will not see it. I don't have to go and look at something every single time. They tell me that it's a CIA film and there are Arabs that need torturing right away. I think we've made Jack Shaheen's point very clearly. We don't even have to worry about that. But going back, you want to think of all the ugly comic figures that they created in Hollywood. And one of the worst, and he's done by one of the best men. Peter Ustinov was a very good man. By the way, he was sympathetic to the Palestinian cause. However, when Hollywood put him in a movie as an Arab, you really want to look the other way or go outside and just shake your head. Every last lousy stereotype that they've ever created, it was, you know, corpulent, giddy, dumb, lascivious. Every time a woman passes through the room, Ustinov jumps up and chases her and runs into the side of the tent, mad lust. I mean, this was every caricature, and people loved it. I can't name the film. You look it up. But Jack Shaheen fought that. And the real Arab is, by the way, he updated it. He found that, you know, it wasn't trailing off. It didn't lose anything. In time. As a matter of fact, the issue is sharper than it's ever been, actually. Hollywood is part of the Pentagon, and the Pentagon is part of Hollywood, any child can document that if they like. Anyway, we want to make sure we say we're really sorry. I was looking forward, actually, lazy me, to more interviews with Jack Shaheen. It's one of those things you put it in the back of your mind. I got to call Jack. But I know his cause has been picked up by others. There is a website called The Angry Arab. We often recommend it because we don't agree with him on everything, but he's on the point. And he said how valuable it was. And you can read it there, a tribute to Jack Shaheen. on other matters, later in the show, Phil and I will be also, after we talk to Stephen Gowans, we're going to treat the Halifax issue. Our hat is off to the Mi'kmaqs. Our hat is off to Native Canadians and to all Indigenous people for having a demonstration and for facing up to facing the little boys from the Canadian Army, and they call themselves boys, and we agree with them, the boys, and how ignorant they were. But, you know, over the weekend, there was a shrouding of the statue of our famous general.
Lord Cornwallis.
Was he Lord?
He was Lord.
Well, he was a mere general at the time, right? Did they make him a lord later?
Of course.
Well, he must have been.
In honor of his great victory.
I think probably in honor of his failure. I met a lord on the weekend, by the way, and a wonderful man, Lord Ahmed, from the House of Lords. And we all looked at him, and he's a former Labour guy. I shouldn't call him former. Anyhow, he's a wonderful personality, one of the rare. There are a few left-wing guys in the House of Lords. So we said, how do we address you? And he says, just call me Brother Lord. So he was one of the good ones. Yes, Lord General Cornwallis. Yeah. And now there's a cloud over the shroud because it really hasn't been explained yet. The mayor, this gets weirder, the mayor of Halifax said that he thinks that something's got to be done about the and a shroud was put on at a time a demonstration had been called. So in a way, it was like a wonderful show of solidarity between the mayor and the people who came to once again protest this statue of alleged Anglo-colonialist hero Cornwallis. But does God have a hand in these things? The name of the mayor is Savage. His name is Mike Savage. And you say, Lord, are you playing with us? But Savage did the right thing.
Phil, I got to tell you, as an ethnic Irish American, that is a very Irish name.
Yeah.
Mike Savage. Yeah. Well, so who knows what his antecedents taught him.
I served under a Captain Savage, and he was. But anyway, no, he was Captain Savage. Yeah. I tell you something. You noticed him when somebody called his name. They say, oh, look out. Captain Savage is coming. Anyway, and it is, you know, the whites more than the Native Americans who were, so I guess it's probably appropriate. Further on that, I want to point out something that I think the Taylor Report is, you know, that's what we're here for, is to bring you up to date on important matters. But you have to understand there's many issues with him, but the big one is the decision to remove the Mi'kmaqs from what is now called Nova Scotia. And they put a bounty on for scalps of Mi'kmaqs. And people debate, there's no question, by the way, they did put a bounty. Not only did they put the bounty in 1749, but they renewed it a few years later. That's for men, women, and children. A bounty on Mi'kmaqs. And you can find the minutes of the meeting in 1749, October, I think it was October 1st, when they met and discussed what to do. Well, here's the coup, to my mind, the key moment in the minutes that you really should underline if you read it. They said, we can't make a war on them. That would be to acknowledge they're a nation. And if we did that we would be giving them something we don't want to give them, because they would have a certain rights based on our identification of them that way. So General Cornwallis said, we will treat them as ruffians and thieves, because after all, they're on their own land and we intend to take it. So if you're going to take it from them, you call the person you take it from a thief. But remember the basis. He said, we cannot give them that. We cannot acknowledge. We can't make war on them. So what we will do is put a bounty on them one by one, and we will kill every last one. Of course, he was a merciful man. If they chose to run for their lives, he's quite happy to let them run. But think of that. There is no other word for the mind of that than genocide. So anyway, the boys who liked Cornwallis went, and they were members of the Canadian Army, some of them. So later in the show, we're going to have a little song called Let's All Go Barmy, Let's Join the Army, Mr. Blitzstein and Mr. Vile. Anyway, I think it, now there's, a, I promise we're going to do something about, talk about Mississippi with Otis Richmond, but we have a song by Nina Simone, and it celebrates advanced women become women soldiers. By the way, an Iranian woman has just become the head of Iran Airlines. I don't know if you read the Free Press of the West, you would not know a woman is in charge of Iran Air.